Hey, welcome everybody. Part two of Bavli Yerushalmi. I just want to again, once again, thank Jack and Marla Samuel for sponsoring this series in memory of two dear friends of ours in Toronto who both passed away, unfortunately, too young, Yitz Kurtz and Isaac Hollander. And Yitz was actually a classmate of mine. And to say he was a genius would be an understatement. Those who knew him, of course, know that. And Isaac Hollander, both wonderful people, humble, learned, community, very involved. So, and Benny, of course, also knew them quite well. So it's a pleasure to dedicate this series, a pleasure. An honor to dedicate the series in their memory. And Dr. Benny Vakasha, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Jay. I fully agree what you said about thanking Jack and Marla Samuels, our good friends, and to have it in memory of Yitz Kurtz, Zichrono Livracha, in the memory of Isaac Hollander is a great honor. Yehi Zichron Baruch. We started last week with a class in with a shiur on Yerushalmi, an introductory. We learned about Modim Drabanan, which was an initial overview. I want today to take you to a very special topic, Rosh Hashanah, which we are Bezrat Hashem celebrating in 10 days. And I want to show you a new light to understand Rosh Hashanah. And that's the purpose of the Shiurim, to show a new approach, to look at it in a totally different attitude. It's a big challenge because to learn about Rosh Hashanah according to one approach, the Bible or Bavli, is in itself very challenging and is interesting. And now to do it also according to the Bavli, according to the Yerushalmi, will be a double challenge and to compare that. So I hope this big challenge is not too difficult. Hold on. And I start with the overview. Sorry. The overview, my overall intention is to learn on the world of Purim. You will find that on the website Fila, and these set of shiurim should show a different attitude of the Bavli and Yerushalmi with relevance. Would be quite interesting to hear what people think in the diaspora, what people think in Israel, and what people think who lived in Israel and are in the diaspora and who made Aliyah. I think it's quite a lot to learn about, and we can leave that for the discussion. Last week's shiur was on Modim Drabanan. I spoke about the approach of Rav Kook. And today it's Rosh Hashanah, the essence of Rosh Hashanah in Bavli and Yerushalmi. And I want to start with a very, very easy one, a very easy slide where I try to show, to make a point clear, which I think is very, very interesting, very true in the Mishnah and the Bavli and Yerushalmi. And it's a good introduction. The Mishnah says, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, Shel Ya'el Pashut. The shofar that we use on Rosh Hashanah in the temple was made from a straight horn of the ibex. Straight. And you see here how straight it is. So one might wonder, who cares whether it is straight or it's round, it's bent. Just have a kol shofar, the voice of a shofar. The Mishnah says, Shel Ya'el Pashut. Pashut means clear, it means straight, and pashut also means it's, you can see it, it's like open, transparent, Ya'el pashut. You see that this horn is very, very, very much straight. Here we have an interesting discussion about the Yerushalmi and Bavli. It seems that there's really no reason to talk, to discuss, and to argue, and to have any disagreement. What's the reason that it must be pashut, straight? The Yerushalmi says, Amar Rabbi Yonah, Kedei sheyifshetu libam b'tshuva. My heart should be straight. They should straighten their hearts with tshuva. If I search my way to Hashem, to Torah, to Jewish identity, don't go this way and all the way around. Make it clear and straight. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yonah in the Yerushalmi. There is no other opinion in the Yerushalmi why the shofar needs to be straight. That sounds to be a very symbolic explanation, a very meaningful explanation, Ya'el Pashut, because it should inspire me when I see something like that, learn to be straight. Learn to stand up and to be straight, not the other way around. So this explanation sounds like a little bit kind of a drush, but no problem, no difficulties to understand the message. And here we find an interesting controversy in the Bavli. Amar Rabbi Levi, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom Kishuv v'shel Yom Kippur bekfufim? No, it should be the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is that one should blow in a shofar which is curved, all bent over. As you can see here in this picture, what's the difference? Is it the difference in the sound? No. And why? The Gemara explains, despite that in the Mishnah it says, Pashut, a scholar at Chacham in Bavel said, no, do it curved. With regard to what principle of these Tanaim, why do they disagree? One sages, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, he says, holds that Rosh Hashanah, the more a person bends his mind and humbles himself by bending in prayer, the better. So now we talk not about the sound of a shofar. It might be the same. We talk about the shape of the shofar. When you see it, what does it inspire you? What are your thoughts? What are you inspired for when you see it? If you see it bent over, you will have the same attitude in your position, in the posture of the body. That is one opinion. And the other opinion says, therefore, a curved shofar is sounded as an allusion to our bent minds and bodies. The other sages, the Mishnah, on Rosh Hashanah, the more a person straightens his mind, kamad de pashit inishdateit fei ma'ale, and avoids any crookedness, the better it is. So here we have a fascinating interpretation that the Bavli takes a straight shofar from the Mishnah, which is supported by the Yerushalmi and explained with one opinion, one dominant leading opinion. Yes, straight is good. Rosh Hashanah, make it straight and clear and stand up what you are. The Bavli says, no, you better bend down and you are better humble and you are better in a mind and the body in the shape that you are always very respectful to Hashem and you realize that you are Mr. Nobody because Hashem is great and you are like that. That's an interesting interpretation. It sounds that like drash, but actually the Gemara makes the drash. The Bavli makes the drash. And here is an obvious hint. What's the attitude? How do we stand in front of Hashem or in front of ourselves as a nation and Israel independent and proud and strong? And in the Galut, it might be better that you learn how to bend down. There are quite a lot of challenges. You better hide, you're better quiet, you're better a really good Gulus Yid. And that comes to expression, that's explained by Rav Blas, Avraham Blas, who wrote a lot. We say in our prayer every morning, V'havienu l'shalom me'abak anfot ha'aretz, V'tolicheinu komo miyut le'artzeinu. Bring us upright back to our land. Not bent and not broken and not suppressed by other nations. We are independent and straight. And here comes a very, very beautiful illustration by Lilian, who was called the first Zionist artist. And here you see the people in Babylon, at the rivers of Babylon. Al narot Bavel, sham yashavnu gam bachinu. Look, their body language. It's all bent like the shofar. And here another pictures, the techezena inenu b'shufcha l'tzion. That is the Jewish, the Gulis Yid. You live in the diaspora. But the Zionism takes you back. Look how straight it is here and here and here. And we are straight by coming back. I don't think that this explanation on the Mishnah, which is quite surprising that the Bavli knows that the Mishnah says, Shel Yael Pashut, a straight horn. But the Bavli wants to educate us. It's better to bend. It's better that our mind and bodies are very, very smaller and bent over and we sit quiet. Don't be too proud of yourself and too straight. That as an introductory note, to understand a very interesting detail, which I trust is very, very meaningful. Once we had that as an example, I want to go back to last week's shiur, and it's good to see a connection between one place and the other of the Yerushalmi, and we haven't learned that much, but for now I can combine 100% of what we learned, the first lecture and the second, because we learned...
Dr. Benny, for 1 second, is there any way you can make your screen a little bit wider so it's very small?
Yes, I will. I will in a moment.
I think, just expand it a bit. I think that would be helpful.
I will do it. I will do it. That's the section. And we learned last week in the shiur that when we say modim d'rabanan, one should not bend over too much according to the Yerushalmi. Why not? Because we pray, Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoteinu, shetismecheinu min nefilateinu, make it straight. That's exactly the message we learned from in the shofar, that we should be straightened up from our bent stage, because you support those who fall and straighten all who are bent over. It's exactly the same idea. So if we have it twice, two examples of the same message, we can indeed combine. That seems to be a typical feature of the Yerushalmi, stay strength and straight. And at the end, we learned last week, uvilvat shelo yashuach yoter midai, most importantly, if you say modim d'rabanan and you get straight, don't bend over too long. Get straight at the end. That's the Yerushalmi. I want to talk now, and that is exactly in keeping what we learned on the shofar. So we have a connection between these two topics. I come now to the main source, but one interesting source in the Bavli. And it's not that the way we had it in Modim d'Rabbanan, take one text and the other text and compare it, find the difference. It's not exactly the same, because we have one source in the Bavli where we have a clear message that you should be frightened, and with a lot of respect for the power of the day, and we have a totally different text, uncomparable, not shared by anything in the Bavli, which is typical for the Yerushalmi. So let's learn first the Yerushalmi. B'Rosh Hashanah Leka Halel, my Tama. Why don't we recite on Rosh Hashanah the Halel? Halel, Psalm Tehillim 113 to 118, which is a celebration of the beautiful day and of God's help and God's salvation. Amar Rabbi Abau, אמרו מלאכי השרת לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, ריבונו של עולם, מפני מה אין אומרים שירה לפניך בראש השנה וביום כיפור? אמר להם, so the angels were asking קדוש ברוך הוא, why don't we say הלל on ראש השנה and יום כיפור? The angel asked God. God answers, אמר להם, אפשר מלך יושב על כיסא דין בספרי חיים וספרי מתים פתוחים לפניו? וישראל אומרים שירה? Do you really think it is possible that while the king is sitting on the throne of judgment and the books of life and death are open before Hashem, that the Jewish people should recite the Hallel and the joyful song of praise? No, that can't be, says the Bavli. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are somber days of judgment whose mood is incompatible with recitation of Hallel. That's a very powerful statement. Rosh Hashanah, according to this source, we are threatened. We are in fear of Hashem. Yirah. There is no place to sing and to have a joyous song. Of course, we have something very similar, Pesach, the last day of Pesach, Ma'aseh Adai Tovim Bayam, Vatem Omrim Shira, there are days that we don't say Hallel, because we are frightened. That's a Midrash. The very simple reason is that we say Hallel when we come to the Beit HaMikdash. 118, Tehillim 118 says, Pitchuli Sharei Tzedek Ad Karnot HaMizbeach. When you enter, when do you enter? You enter the days where of Shalosh Regalim, the three big festivals when one makes Aliyah to Yerushalayim. But the Gemara in the Bavli wants to give another explanation why Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur not. Not because they are not part of the Shalosh Regalim, the three big festivals when one makes the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, it is a frightening day. It is a day where you are feared and you have respect. You're not in the mood to sing and to have joyous songs. The way one feels...
It's interesting that that the Amora is a Yerushalmi, Rabbi Abahu. It's not a Babli.
Yes. Yes, interesting point. And we have a lot of these crossovers, which are typical and very interesting indeed. But actually, the message is that the Bavli knows to quote what they want and recruits paid people from Yerushalmi and vice versa, because there is a shita of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What I want to point out from this Gemara is that on Yom Kippur, you feel like this little individual standing in front of a court. And that's the attitude, and that's the ratio, if not smaller. We are frightened. It's a question of death and life. Sifrei Chayim veSifrei Meitim. You better don't laugh too much. You better don't sing too much, because it's a frightening day. That's one conclusion which we take away from the Bavli, Rosh Hashanah. The king is sitting on the throne of judgment, and the books of life are and death are open, and we stand very quietly. Now we come to a text of the Yerushalmi. And before we come to the text of Yerushalmi, I like to show you a picture of the Mount Everest. Mount Everest is quite high, quite cold, never been there, not planning to be there in the next 20 years, Bli Neder. But it must be a very long trip and very, very beautiful. The view from there must be amazing. And I actually enjoy to see pictures and movies from up there, but not necessarily that I plan to be there in the near future. And I want to say exactly the same about the Yerushalmi, what we are going to read now. Enjoy the big picture. Enjoy that people have a deep, deep understanding of the text, and that there are amazing things to see, and take what you can enjoy. I will not be able to give a detailed analysis of the text, because it is a difficult text in Hebrew, and there are a lot of midrashim, and there is a technique of the midrashim where one needs to understand Hebrew well. And it's impossible to enjoy all the details. I studied it for quite a while, and am always impressed from the amazing chidush. But take it, please, as it's a beautiful view. It's a new view. And now let's try to see what you can take and enjoy. And please apologize if I'm not able to explain in the next 40 minutes all the details, 30 minutes. I will take the text, which you have in your handouts. I will break it in four pieces, as you can see here. And I will go piece 1, 2, 3, and 4. But you can see on the overview, without even reading, that the same wording, Nohak Sheba Olam, Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu Enoken. Nohak Sheba Olam, Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu Enoken. And you have it here again, the same color, in section 2, 1, 2, and 4. And we have Amar of Simon in here, 1, 2, and 3. And we have a wording, Eza Umak Umazot, which comes again here. So there is a certain flow of the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi, which is not studied in a regular way in the Yeshivot. We are pleased and blessed and privileged by an outstanding analysis by an outstanding scholar named Dr. Yaffa Zilka. You can see here one of her books, and that's the other book. Both are in Hebrew, and she is a doctor from Bar Ilan in literature, and she worked over years on analysis of Yerushalmi Agadot, and compares them very, very often with the Bavli to highlight the differences. And I would like to give you a little taste of that. It's a big challenge. I would like to thank Dr. Yaffa Zilka both for her amazing research and publication, and she actually reviewed the slides and made some very, very important insights, which I'm happy to present you now. Here is the first part. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba. He takes a pasuk from Mishlei, Zarzir Motnaim Otaish Umelech Alkum Imo. That's a text in Mishlei, which I don't understand. I haven't found so far. a really good explanation for the pasuk, not in the classical nor the general commentators, but the Midrash has a very interesting explanation. Benoach shebaolam ze mevakesh lenatzeach zarziro veze mevakesh lenatzeach zarziro. The Midrash takes the pasuk in a totally different direction. It's natural that everyone tries to win over the other, and it's like a competition of animals. But the Holy One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not like that, but the king against whom no one rises. Umelech al kum imo. Nobody stands up, might be the king himself. He is not a competitive god. He is not fighting. Lo bai takum al didei. He himself is even not interested to show that he is right or not. God is a very soft, a very smooth vis-a-vis for you. Ki lo lanetzach yarif. He will not fight for you forever. Lanetzach means in Hebrew forever. It's also nitzachon is victory. But the Midrash says, lo linsoach yarif. God is not fighting with you. God has no reason to be in any status of a competition with you. He loves you. He supports you. Might be there are others who fight with their animals, which horse is faster, which bird is faster. No. Hashem, he is very much a friend of you. He will never have a competition. He will never threaten you. He will never show that he is bigger, stronger, faster. No. Lo linitzoach yarif. He does not fight to win. Amar Rab Lezer, lo lanetzach yarif, he will not fight in order to be the winner. And here we have another midrash, which I didn't translate in the text, but I want to read it. Also a midrash from Eretz Yisrael, a Yerushalmi source. On the same pasuk, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kesha'ani notzeach, ani mafsid. If I'm fighting, and if I'm the winner, I'm actually the loser. When somebody else is the winner, I have nachas. If I show that the Jewish people is stronger and better than me, I have really Yiddish nachas. I like that. I'm not in a competition. And look at this amazing statement, a God of mercy, a God of friendship, a God of interaction, a God who is happy with our success. He is not in a competition with us. Kishani notzeach, ani mafsid. Kishani nitzoach, ani mistakel. So here the Midrash comes on and has a very strange text. These five words, pada basilius onimos ogrifos. Nobody really understands, but Gershom, Shaul Lieberman, an outstanding scholar in Talmudic literature and in Greek Latin literature. You will find a lot on him online. And he wrote a book on Yevanit ve'Yevanut be'Eretz Yisrael, Greek and Hellenism in Jewish Palestine, a master scholar of the Yerushalmi. And he shows that that is a classical saying, Lamelech en chok katuv, the king can do whatever he wants. That is the source of this quotation here. Pada basilius onimos ogrifos. That is the proper reading in Greek. Yes, Rav Elazar obviously represents a saying which was in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, the place of the Yerushalmi, common practice. The dictator can do whatever he wants. He is not responsible. He doesn't have to report to anybody. The king does whatever he wants. God is not like that. V'noach shebaolam melech basar v'dam gozer gzera. Ratza mekayma, ratzu acharim, mekayim ota. Aval kudosh baruch hu eino ken. Ela gozer gzera, u'mekayma tchila. He does it first himself. If he gives a instruction for his people, God, he does it first. He does not do it in an arbitrary way, and one has to do what he dictated as a dictatorship. No, because it says, and you have psukim v'shamru et mishmarti ani Hashem, and there is a wonderful saying by Rav Simon, K'tiv mipnei seva takum v'adarta pnei zaken ve'yireta me'elohecha ani Hashem. It is written that you shall rise and stand out of respect before the gray beard and show deference before the elderly. And you shall respect Hashem, ani Hashem, I'm the Lord. I am who first stood up before an elderly person. The same Rabbi Simon in the Midrash Rabbah says that God stood up to honor Avraham. Midrash Rabbah Breishit. God has a tremendous respect for elderly. He stands up. Oh, he stands up. We should stand up as well. We are all on the same page. God is not the big God, the dictator, and we have just to do what he says. If he says something, he does it himself because he believes it's good to respect elderlies. Hashem stands up. What a saying. What a mutuality. What a friendship. What a rendezvous of God with human beings. He stands up and respects elderly people. Oh, we should learn from him. That's the first thing. This Rav Simon goes on, and he has an interesting saying in the next piece. Amar Rabbi Simon, you see how it flows. One statement by Rabbi Simon on the brown background. He keeps saying the next word. So obviously, there is a flow. There is a continuity. There is a strong context between Midrash and Midrash. Tiv mi goy gadol asher lo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. It says in the Bible, who is a great nation that has righteous laws and ordinances. Rabbi Hoshaya, two sages said something. One says on Hashem, One says on Am Yisrael, and the other one says something about Hashem. Eza umako umazot. The Bible says, mi goy gadol. Who is a great nation like that? And he explains it. Eza umako umazot. What is unique about the Jewish people? Benoach shebaolam adot dam yodea sheish lodin, lovesh chorim umitatev shchorim umagadel skano, sheno yodea heach dino yotze. אבל ישראל אינו כן, אלא לובשים לבנים ומתעטפים לבנים ומגלחים זקנם ואוכלים ושותים ושמחים, יודעים שהקדוש ברוך הוא עושה להם ניסים. What is he saying that is beautiful about the Jewish people? And we have something very, a close connection of the Jewish people. One said, is there a people like the Jewish people? It is natural for a person who knows that he will stand in the trial to dress in black, where he is suppressed or he's uncertain about his role, wear a black head covering and let his beard grow, since he doesn't know the outcome of the trial. So you sit very quiet. You're not very loud. But Israel are not like this. They dress in white, wear a white head covering, cut their beards, eat and drink, and they're happy. They know that the Hashem, the Holy One, blessed He, will perform miracles for them. What does the Midrash say? There is a close relationship. I'm not nervous about Hashem. I'm not in fear. I get up there. It is white dresses. It's a celebration of the day. We are in front of Hashem. I know Hashem will be with me. I'm not feared by Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei HaMavet and Sifrei HaMitim, the books of death, life and death. Here comes the next Talmid Chachamim, and I will give on the next slide more explanation. The other Chacham said, Eza umak uma zot, benoak shebaolam ha-shilton omer hadin hayom, v'alistin omer lemachar hadin, lemi shomim lo la-shilton? If one has a day that it's natural, if the ruler says the trial is today, and the robber says, no, the trial is tomorrow, of course we listen to the ruler. Now we have to understand that Rosh Hashanah has 2 days. Why does it have 2 days? In the Torah, it says only 1 day. But since the declaration of the new month was by the moon, and that could not happen all over Israel, and the WhatsApp and the websites at the time of the Mishnah and the Bavli Yerushalmi was not an option. So the first day in Tishrei, and it's the only day where we have actually 2 days because we don't know, even in Eretz Yisrael, is because we don't know. But the Chacham in Bavli, in Yerushalmi, gives a totally different creative idea. Why is that? Because look at the story which he's telling, the analogy. He is different. Not that Am Yisrael, like in the first opinion, know Hashem. Now it is Hashem who likes Am Yisrael. Amru Beit Din Hayom, Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer LaMalachei HaSharet, HaMidu Bima, Yamdu Sanegorin, Yamdu Kategorin, Shamru Bet Banai, Rosh Hashanah. What's the analysis? I read to the end. Nimlachu Beit Din La'avra LeMachar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer LaMalachei HaSharet, HaViru Bima, Yavru Sanegorin, Yavru Kategorin, Shenimlachu Banai La'avra LeMachar. What is the reason? What's the analogy? Hashem says the best in the court is totally different by Hashem. If the court of Am Yisrael says Rosh Hashanah is today, the Holy One Hashem says to the angels in heaven, to the Malachi HaSharet, put the day, summon of the defenders of the prosecution. Why? Because the Jewish people said today is Rosh Hashanah. Oh, they say Rosh Hashanah is tomorrow. Hashem will appear there. They lead the court. According to the Bavli, we are frightened by the court of Hashem. Here, no, Hashem takes it very easy. He is very easy about that. Am Yisrael, you will define when is the day of Rosh Hashanah. It can be the first day of Tishrei or the second. Whatever you do is acceptable for me, says Hashem. Why? And the Yerushalmi says, because Hashem said, Banai nimlechu banai le'abra le'machar. My children, Am Yisrael, they took counsel to postpone the Rosh Hashanah for the next day. So whenever they say they want to come to court, Hashem will be there. No stress, no pressure. It's not the autonomy and the authority of, it's not the authority of Hashem which defined when is Rosh Hashanah. It's the autonomy of Am Yisrael. We can do it the first day, the second day, whenever they want. Hashem says, fine, because my children, Banai, they decide. And Yerushalmi takes a pasuk. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu, whatever is decided by Am Yisrael, is a mishpat le'Elohei Yaakov, is accepted for God. God follows the decision of Am Yisrael. God wants Am Yisrael to take responsibility, to take the lead, and to decide when is Rosh Hashanah, the first day, the second day, whenever you want to be in court, Banai, my children decided, Hashem shows up according to their decision. Rab Chiska, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, says, L'sha'avar eila mo'adei Hashem. Once, in the past, these were my appointed times of Hashem. He decided by the creation of stars, of the moon, of the sun, Mikan vailach atem tikru otam. But from then on, onwards, you shall proclaim when are the dates. What do we see here? A fascinating attitude, without going in all the details, that Hashem is happy to have Rosh Hashanah whenever Am Yisrael wants. When there is any competition between an animal fight, the animal game, who is running faster, they should... Hashem is not fighting. Mi goy gadol, as in the first part on the previous slide. Mi goy gadol, that's from Dvarim 4:8. We will take in a moment a look at 4:6. And I want to explain that further with the Nosach in the Yalkut Shimoni, and some of the Rishonim, Rav Ya Rosh and others, had another reading in the Midrash, which is fascinating. The Pasuk in Dvarim says, Hu ki mi goy gadol, in Dvarim it says, who is great and who is a great nation that has God near it, as the Lord Hashem, our God, in all of our calling to him. We can call him. He's here whenever we want. We can talk to him. We have a very close relationship to him. And who is great nation that has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire Torah that I placed before you today? We decide what to do. That's the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi quotes one pasuk, but has the other pasuk in mind, because these two pasukim both are like a twin. And they say, we have really a very close, friendly relationship, Hashem. When we call him, he is there. When we decide to have Rosh Hashanah, it's the first day, fine. We want to do it the second day, Hashem says, fine. That is the closeness of the relationship between Am Yisrael and God, between God and Am Yisrael. And look here at the text, which is in the Yalkut Shimoni, and below in some of the Rishonim, which is a totally different reading. I didn't translate it. It's too crowded on the slide, but I want to give a oral translation. Eizo uma ku uma zo sheyodea ofya shel Eloheh. Who is like this nation, the Jewish people, who knows the feature, the characters, who knows the ofi, what is his personality, kivyachol, of God? Hashem knows Hashem very well. Am Yisrael knows Hashem very well. And when Hashem sees that they are happy, we are relaxed. Why? Lefi sheyodim shakudos boch hu oseh lahem nisim. Hashem will do miracles for us. Umotzi lahem lechafschut v'korea et gzar dinam. That's what we read before here. That's not our text in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a difficult text. A lot of changes, and some of the pieces are lost. Hashem, Am Yisrael knows God very well. And we have a very friendly relationship. We can call the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem will be there. The second one, we lead the court. Hashem wants us, because he wants a relationship like that, close relationship. What a totally different attitude than what we learned in the Bavli. And now we learned that Hashem wants to do what his children do. Whenever they decide Rosh Hashanah is fine. And Rav Simon goes on. Here you see the narrative flow. It's like I wouldn't say it, it's a associations, like a jump of thoughts. It is a very clear structure of thoughts. Here it says, he takes a pasuk in Tehillim, which has a clear message, and he gives it a new insight. Amar Rabbi Simon, k'tiv rabot rasita ata Adonai Elohai, niflotecha u'machshavotecha eleinu. The pasuk in Tehillim says, many things and miracles, Lord my God, have you done in the past. Your wondrous work and thoughts are for us. For us, in the past, many things you have done. You are the authority, you alone. From then and onwards, your wondrous works and thoughts are for us. Machshavotecha eleinu. Mikan va'elech, we do it. We are empowered. In the past, it sounds like before Har Sinai, before the revelation at Sinai, whatever you did, you were the only God in the world. You had no nation, nobody accepted you, nobody was worshiping you, nobody was your partner on earth. But since that, what was in the past is history, and now we are entitled, because you, Hashem, wanted us to be entitled, and here we are. Now look how it works. There are six opinions, beautiful opinions. Rab Levi said, Lemaze dome, what's the analogy? Lemelech shaya la'ir logim. Kevan sha'amad bno, mesara lo. There was a king who had a very precious of a king who had a watch. It's a special watch. Ir logim is the word from Latin, ora, the hour, and login is the word. It tells you the time. It's not that everybody had his own watch. Only a king had a special watch from the sun or other techniques. A king had his watch. And of course, talking about Rosh Hashanah, the first day, the second day, who decides when is Rosh Hashanah? And here Rabbi Levi explains, Hashem gave us the watch. He was a famous king, a powerful king with a very special watch. But he decided, oh, my son, Kindlech, take my watch. You are now the owner of the watch. He empowers us. He's happy that we take over and continue to define the time of the Chagim and of the watch. The second opinion, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Lemelech Shaya Lo Shomera. He had a king who had a watch box, and he could have it. He gave it to his son, Shaya Lo Taba'at. He had a ring where he signs, where he decides whatever instructions will be given to the entire kingdom. He gives it to his son. The son wants, he should decide. That's what the king wants. He wants to have a continuity of his kingdom by the son who should continue his idea. L'melech shayalo klei nagarot, a parable of a carpenter who had carpenter's tools. And the next one is L'melech shayalo otzarot. He had very special treasures, and he gave it to his son when he got older. And Rabbanan, they say, the rabbi said, that's a parable of a healer, a doctor who had a box of medicines. When his son came of age, he handed it to him. Hashem wants, whatever the parable is, the hour, the watch, the kingdom, the ring, the carpenter, all the treasures, doctors. I'm not interfering with Hashem if I'm a doctor. I'm actually doing, I'm continuing to do what he had in mind to do first. What a wonderful friendship, partnership, a unity between Hashem and God. No competition. The king wants his son to be successful. Here we go, take over. We come to the fourth section of the Midrash, and we will review it soon. Now the Midrash says, "Berosh Hashanah kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron." That is the Mishnah. Kivnei maron is very often explained like those, the children from up high, kivnei maron. But the source of the Mishnah is kibenu maron. They are counted. They have numbers. So the Mishnah is very much influenced by the language that the soldiers in the Roman armies, they were counted. The Hashem counted them. Rab Acha amar kadein dirin v'rabanan amrin kahada b'magninim. Ma atama? Why is that? Hayotzer yachad libam hamevin el kol ma'asehem. And here is a pasuk from Tehillim. Why? Because it says, he who fashions all their hearts, who created them, he understands all their deeds. A pasuk in Tehillim, which is in the Mishnah. The Yerushalmi gives a powerful explanation. God, Hayotzer Yachat Libam, the first opinion of Levi, Hashem, Hayotzer Yachat Libam, Kvar Hevin et Kol Ma'asehem. Don't worry. God created you, and he who fashions all their hearts, he understands all their deeds. Yeah, Hashem understands you. You made something wrong. I understand it can go wrong. Hashem is the creator. He wanted to have creatures which fulfill, work in one way or the other way. If it doesn't work, okay. Benohak sheba olam, you see the same wording from before. Man noach leyotzer, lasot me'akam kanim o listakel bahem. Lo listakel bahem? It is natural. What is easier for the potter? To make 100 flasks or to look at them? Not to look at them? Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, he made them. He created them. And now he sits there and he watches. How wonderful is the creation? How unique are my creatures? And he enjoys the day to see what he completed over 6 days. He says, how wonderful. Yotzram rotze sheye libam yachid elav. Rabbi Brechia said that the creator wants that their heart be together as one with him. He wants them. It's all a different explanation of the pasuk, and I cannot go in details for the sake of time. I think there are four very, very specific and sensitive explanations, which we can explain a little bit. Yotzran rotze she'elibam yachid elav. God wants that the heart should be focused on Hashem. He created me in a way that I should connect to him. So whatever he created is on him. That's what he wanted. That's what I have to be. מי שהוא יחיד בעולמו כבר הבין את כל מעשיהם. The one who is unique in his world, he understands all their deeds. There is no frightening relationship. There is no court. There is no Yom Hadin. There is no Yom Sifrei HaChaim, the Sifrei HaMetim. There is a close, very deep friendship. Let me summarize. I know it was a lot, and I told you it is like the Mount Everest, and I think it was a special mountain. And you have the explanation by Dr. Zilka is online. Those who read Hebrew, worthwhile to study and learn it in details. The first Midrash said, God is not in competition. He doesn't want to be the winner. He's happy to be the loser. And we should take over. And God himself respects elderly people because he wants to educate us to be respectful to others. So he is just a personal example for us. The same Rab Simon moves on and said, all the mitzvot, chokim u'mishpatim, reflect a close relationship. Aval Yisrael einan ken, aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu einan ken. We are very close. And Am Yisrael yodat ofya shel Eloheh. We understand Hashem. I'm nervous about the court. Not at all. Am Yisrael takes it easy. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes it easy. And when the angels come and say, oh, today is the day of the court, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the angels, no. They prefer to come tomorrow. Banai, my children decided to come tomorrow. That's what counts. No stress, please, upstairs there in heaven. Am Yisrael will decide. Oh, they bring a pasuk, of course, from Tehillim. And in the past, it was this way, and now Am Yisrael decides about the dates. Of course, a midrash. Six examples that Hashem empowers us with a lot of nachas. Kadosh Baruch Hu has Yiddish and nachas. He steps back, and he lets us to do it. That is Rosh Hashanah. Do we fulfill what Hashem expects us to do? What Hashem empowers us to do? That is what they want to be said here. God created us created the world that we should be active, independent, responsible, and we should stay straight. I think that is a huge difference of the understanding of Rosh Hashanah in the Yerushalmi, which is a total innovation. Allow me to summarize it here. We saw in the Bavli a king sitting on the throne of judgment with the books of life and death. We are passive. We will be judged. And in my case, a tough situation for all the mistakes. A very critical, no reason to be happy on this day. I better step back and better bend down, as we saw from the shofar, and I better respect that I'm Mr. Nobody in front of Hashem. And hopefully he will forgive me because I'm big time Mr. GMG, Gurnish mit Gurnish. Yerushalmi has a totally different attitude. What a friendship. What an incredible mutuality. It's like a rendezvous between the Creator and Am Yisrael. And he has Yiddish and Nachas. The court is just a place where we enjoy to meet. We wanted a day later, fine. What a friendship. What a relaxed, family-oriented meeting, the father and the son, and whatever the son wants, give it to him. Am Yisrael is running the court. There is no parallel text in the Bavli, as Dr. Yaffa Zilka points out. We are active participants. We take responsibility for the world because Hayom Harat Olam, God created an amazing world. Take responsibility and to be part of the Creator by behaving as a creature of a God in his creation, appointed by the Creator. What an unbelievable message. Of course, this difference between Yerushalmi and Bavli is so typical, elaborated so beautifully by Dr. Yaffa Zilka. We are here and we have to show what we can accomplish in front of Hashem. And we try to do the best. We celebrate God. We celebrate the anniversary, the birthday of the world. And we want to find our place in the world because God appointed us with so much love, with so much trust, that he believes we can do it and we should be worthy to continue at. So that fits very well to the explanation I gave you at the beginning. I'm not broken. I don't bend. I'm not in front of a judge where I have to be concerned that all my sins will bring me to the Sefer HaMetim. I'm straight, and I want to libam b'tshuva. I want to fulfill what God expects me in his wonderful creation to do because he appointed us. What a totally different approach of independence, of empowerment of the nation. I'm not sure where this song, this poet comes from, this beautiful tefillah, which I forgot, I failed to translate. We pray after Tkiyat Shofar, Im Kevanim, Im Ka'avadim. Rabbi Jay, if you could please translate. Please, Hashem, listen to our tefillot. If we are sons or if we are slaves, Im Kevanim, Rachameinu Kerachem Av Albanim. Ve'im ka'avadim einenu lacha tluyot ad shetachoneinu ve'totzi cha'or mishpateinu. Could you please translate, Rabbi?
Okay. Well, you said if either we're like children or like slaves. If we are like children, please have mercy like a father has mercy on his children. And if we are like slaves or perhaps, you know, servants, there is a difference. Our eyes are our gaze to you. That's not the right word. Our eyes are focused on you until you will have mercy and, you will give us a light, a judgment full of light.
We are dependent.
Our tluya, right, our dependent. That's better. Right. Oh, right. That, thank you.
It is a servitude. I'm Mr. Nobody and Hashem is great. Of course it's true. But the other attitude is I'm just a son and he likes me and he wants me to do something. I'm not sure whether it's a proper quotation here. So I didn't put it black and white. I didn't want to put it black and white, but it's in a gray. It is for sure that ke'ilu, the tefillah says, You can define our relationship to Hashem according to the Bavli or according to the Yerushalmi.
I think Tluyot is in suspense. We're kept in another suspense.
Thank you.
Yes.
Now here we come. I would like to point another difference. It says in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, it says when the Jewish people came back from the exile in Bavel, and they came to Eretz Yisrael. And they heard from Nehemiah the reading of the Torah. There were, on Rosh Hashanah, they were crying all day long. Vayomer lahem lechu ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim veshilchu manot le'ein nachon lo. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu ve'al te'atzevu ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem. They were learning the Torah reading on Rosh Hashanah just when they returned from the exile. And Nehemiah told them, stop crying. Do not be depressed. Whatever you failed in the past is history, is the previous chapter. Now you open a new chapter. He said to them, go and eat rich foods and drink sweet beverages and send gifts to whoever does not have anything prepared, as this day is holy to our Hashem. Do not be saddened, as joy is the Lord, as joy in the Lord is your strength. Very interesting that the Rosh and the Ravia have an interesting question. Medieval rabbis, commentators on the Gemara who had a lot of psakim, and they ask whether one is allowed to fasten on Rosh Hashanah. That's a classical question. If you say it's a very frightening day and you don't want to eat anything because you make tshuva all day and you're not really in the mood to eat, better to fast, because it's the day that the king is sitting on the throne and the judgment will be whether you're on death or alive. A fast is a very good approach for Rosh Hashanah. Are you allowed to fast or not? So the Rosh and the Ravia say you are by no means allowed. Why not? Ki ha-parnasim harishonim, the first community leaders, quoting Nehemiah, said, no. Rosh Hashanah, you don't fast. You eat and you enjoy the beautiful day. And what do these rabbis bring as a support for this attitude? They bring as a support the Yerushalmi. Because Yerushalmi, we all dress up white and we are sure God will forgive us. We are Haimisha. We are Ben Bait. We are part of his family. Why should he be angry? I know God. We are friends. We are very close to each other and he's very close to me. Of course, there is no reason in the world that I should fast today. Let's just enjoy the creation and this wonderful day that we were appointed to fulfill his shlichut. And the Rosh, the Posek, this halachical decision to make the point that you should not fast on Rosh Hashanah, quotes the Yerushalmi. On a personal note, allow me to summarize that I feel as much as tshuva, and everybody has to make a cheshbon nefesh to understand himself and the mistakes and to do tshuva for the next year, there is a way to do it in a very depressed way and in a broken way. That's the symbol. And the tefillah have some features where we are broken and we say vidui. We will talk next week about the vidui. We are broken down in pieces and depressed and feared. But there is a way of the Yerushalmi. When we stand up straight and we enjoy that God is God and the creation is celebrating today the birthday and we are part of Hashem and Hashem is close to us and we are close to Hashem, that is a totally different religious attitude. But I think there is nothing to compare how diametrically different these approaches are. And of course, we have la halacha, both options, as I showed, im kevanim, im ka'avadim. And I hope that this insight in the Yerushalmi, which I think is a beautiful insight, which is true in many, many examples, I hope to show you later, is such a message. Might be in the Galut, in the diaspora. We are very modest and we are very much aware. We are not in the right place. We are not in the right place where we live. The Jewish people is not in the right place. We have to survive. Might be we have to be all a goyim. And you better out that small and you bent down. And in Eretz Yisrael is a different attitude. I thank the translations. I thank always Audrey for outstanding work. I would not be able to do it without your help, Audrey. And here are the references from Yaffa Zilka. And next week, I will talk about this text, another Midrash on Yom Kippur. Any comments, questions, and suggestions, please?
Benny, you want me to go through the couple comments?
Yes.
I know you like when we do that. Okay, for you. Okay, people like good. Okay, short sheet, short sheet. All right, Yaffa Zilka, got that right. Okay, Shaul Lieberman, I posted there. Very nice. Okay, so the real comment is, which I was just thinking of, very interesting, that Aleinu, Asher points out that Aleinu seems to be more in line with the Yerushalmi. And if I may add, then you could say Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's Malchuyot is reminiscent of the Bavli. For those, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri had a much harsher Malchuyot. I spoke about it briefly in Mashir on Friday, that his is about fear. That's really from Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So perhaps he's representing what later on, I mean, he lived in Israel, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, but still, but maybe he's reflecting the Babylonian approach, what later becomes Babylonian approach, and Rabbi Kiva, well, you know, I think that's beautiful. Like, Benny, you want to comment on that?
So first of all, Aleinu is quoted early on as a tefillah, Malchuyot, in the Gemara. And the source of Aleinu is Malchuyot literature. I think I spoke once about it and I have sources online. So Aleinu might be a reflection of. And Aleinu Leshaber, that we bent down, might be like the first section. But we are going to make a tikkun haolam, might be the Yerushalmi section. I'm not sure if this analysis is really true, but it is like a mixture, a certain mixture. And I cannot clearly affiliate it to one approach or the other. It's from the Merkava literature. A lot is written on Aleinu. So it's an interesting thought, and I have to leave it open as a question. It's a little bit later.
Do you think that Kivnei Maron, really, the correct girsa, the original girsa is Numaron, or is that a drash?
Ivnei Maron. So what the question is, what is true?
You know, do you think it might be true? Maron is the original Gersa.
So the original, the source of the term might be Kevenu Maron. But what the Midrash, the Mishnah, made out of it, that is what the Mishnah wanted to say, Kivnei Maron, which is a very interesting statement if you think about that, that Kivnei Maron, God counsels like the soldiers who are walking in the line, and the commander counts them. That is Kivnei Kevenu Maron, like everybody's a number. But what the Mishnah does out of it, that Kadosh Baruch Hu counts each of them. Each of them is an individual. And I read many years ago a very interesting interview with Albert Einstein. He was asked, after all the prizes he got as a famous scholar, he was asked whether he ever had a feeling that he is smarter than others. So he said, never, ever. I learned from everybody and every interaction, and every conversation is for me a big honor to learn from everybody. Only if I see soldiers working in the line and everybody's a number, I think that's not human life. That's not human dignity. That's what Albert Einstein said in an interview. And I think your question is very much in keeping with that. If everybody is a number, it's losing the respect and using the special feature of every person. But the Mishnah takes kevenumeron as a number and says, no, everybody is a kevenei maron. I count everybody. So what is the source? There are two sources. It's a transformation. The Mishnah transforms the source. I hope it was clear what I tried to say.
It was.
All right, any other questions? No questions. Okay.
I have a question. I'm trying to send the sources the day before, and I will try to do so the next time and in 2 weeks. Next time it's going to be on Yom Kippur, and the sources today were more sources than last time, and more than hopefully next time. The difficulty to understand so many sources can be very, very, it can block one to understand the beauty. I wanted to show the beauty of Mount Everest, but we don't have to walk there. I wanted to show the beautiful insight. Today it was a little bit difficult, so I apologize, but I cannot show the beauty of the Yerushalmi if I don't show some of the text and admit there are some issues which I did not understand. So if you have any questions and comments, let me know. Next week, we will have two shorter texts. Compare left to right. Where is the difference? What is the text that we see here and not there and the other way around? And we'll try to explain. If you have any questions, you have my email, and you can send questions, suggestions, and wishes, and whatever you like to send me. I'm happy to hear.
Thank you. First of all, it was not so difficult to follow. It's good. We like high-level discussions. That's the way it should be. But no problem to have a little text. They are, of course, all the texts are always found on the website. I mean, people, you know, we post it here in the chat box. But if you want to see it beforehand, you can go to the website, the program page. That's where all the recordings are. People privately, you know, text me. If you want to listen to last week's, this week's, whatever, we always post them. Any program that we always do, the 1,000 programs do, just go to the page of the program and you'll see both the audio, if you want to listen in the car, and the video, if you want to watch it. Or you can go to our YouTube channel, the Torah Motion YouTube channel, where everything is also there. So, you know, lots of stuff to keep everybody busy. Okay, we'll see you, please God, next week. Tomorrow, Dr. Sokolow on the Haftorah and Rosh Hashanah on Kohelet. I will not be there because I start school tomorrow. Chat day after Labor Day. So I'm back into my double schedule, a double agent beginning tomorrow. But a little bit will sneak here and there, depending on when my classes are. And also, by the way, next Monday night, Mark Shapiro is starting he's restarting his series next Monday night, 8:30. And also Wednesday, Dr. Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky will be giving a shiur on the origins of the shofar. I'll send out actually an email pretty soon about that to register if you haven't already. That's Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. in Israel. And we look forward to all our regular classes. We look forward to seeing you. Please invite a friend. I just put the thing to register for Sunday's Yom Iyun. As I've mentioned a number of times, if you're just for Elul, you won't find out about it. You won't get the login. It's a separate login. So please do register for the Sunday program separately. It's 8 speakers back to back, beginning 9:15. We have 1 15-minute break in the middle, but back to back, 9:15 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. Jennifer, that's 6:15 in the morning for you, and you'll go to the late minion at 10:30 in the morning. You'll be okay. I imagine Sunday mornings they got late minions in California. Go to the Hasidic Shtiebel, you can find minyanim till all the days of the, who knows, all days of night. Okay. Anyways, okay, everybody.
Ari Zivotofsky will be the one who'll be able to tell us whether that picture was of an ibis or an oryx.
He's always, he will tell you.
He's the expert on that.
Yes. Okay. That's why we're having the shiur. So that's a Wednesday. And please invite your friends to come to this many classes. And Rabbi Professor, I said Rabbi Doctor. I guess in Israel, they make it here. It's not such a big deal. Professor, Doctor, I think the same thing. I don't think anybody in Toronto knows. But I think in Israel, they do make a big deal about that, right? A professor's higher level than a doctor, right? Isn't that how it works in Israel? I'm not sure. But anyways, I'm still in the Bavli. I live in Chutz Laaretz, which means in Bavel, because that's how we say V'tein Talumatar, right? We are all different on the Bavli. Okay, everybody, look forward to seeing you soon and to learning with you and your comments. Audrey, nice to have you. You were very quiet at the beginning. You know, you didn't. Okay, everybody, have a great day. We hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Magnificent, as always.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks to the
Lord. Thank you. Toda rabba.
Okay, thanks everybody. Bye-bye.